people said, amen. We had the privilege recently, Jody and I, to be on board the submarine out at Pearl Harbor when Sarah was recommissioned. And so we congratulate her. That means that the Brins will be with us for about another year. So we're happy about that, but we're going to be sad when they receive their next assignment. But thank you for your special music this morning. And let's see, we want to send out a greeting and welcome to all of those who are joining us, not only here in the sanctuary and the fellowship hall, but also those who are joining us online. We send out a special greeting and aloha to Carrie and Crystal, who are in Alaska joining us this morning. So we're grateful for those who are able to join us, even though they're far away from us. And we have many who join us each week from different parts of the country. Today, I'm especially glad to welcome my son and daughter-in-law and grandson, Nate, Sarah, and Jackson. And just last week at this time, Sarah was running in a marathon out on the Big Island in Hilo, 13 miles, a half marathon. This, I think, is a picture of her crossing the finish line. Do we have that? Maybe not. Okay. Well, anyway, we're glad to have Nate and Sarah and Jackson worshiping with us this morning as well. Unfortunately, today is the last day that we'll have Tom Harrison here with us. He's been a faithful attender for the past several months. He'll be going back to Florida. He's one of the snowbirds that come from Florida. I don't know. I guess there's that's not really an appropriate title, I guess, but he comes to Hawaii once each year, and Tom, we're going to miss you. We thank you that you've had this time to bless us with your presence, and we'd just like to present you with a lei and send you off with our aloha. Okay, well, today we are continuing our series on building upon the firm foundation of God's Word. And today we're kind of in a little bit of a mini-series. We've been looking at building by understanding how it changes us, how it changes me, how it changes you. Our text this morning is found in Psalm 119, 130, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, as Tony has been reminding us, the Bible has power to change and transform our lives. It has the power to change my life. It has power to transform and change your life. And there are, as we learn from God's Word, seven specific ways that the Bible changes us. And we've been working our way through each one of them. So far, we've looked at number one, which is the Bible recreates my life. It tells me how I can be born again, or as the Apostle Paul puts it, how we can become a new creation. Number two, it eradicates my guilt and resentment. And number three, it activates my faith. And today we're ready for number four, it stimulates my growth. It stimulates my growth. In Acts 20, Paul is about to leave Ephesus. And he says to the believers in that city, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. He's saying, I'm getting ready to leave. And apparently he's thinking that he may never see some of those believers again. And as he's leaving the Ephesians, he says to them, I'm going to commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is just another phrase that means the word of God, which can build you up. That's the spiritual growth that we're talking about. It can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Those who are sanctified are those who have experienced significant spiritual growth. And what about that other word, inheritance? Well, I think most of us know what that means. The phrase reads, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Well, again, you know what inheritance is. An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family. And because you are part of a family, it's rightfully yours, that inheritance. Now, let's just say that your father is Warren Buffett. And he writes a will and dies. What if you never took time to read the will and claim what was yours? That would be pretty foolish, wouldn't it, Rodney? Yeah. That just wouldn't make any sense at all, because you would not be getting in on all that was rightfully yours. You would not be getting in on the blessings and the benefit that belonged to you as an heir. You would not benefit from being part of the Buffett family because you didn't even know what was in the will. Well, when you become a follower of Jesus, when you put your faith in Christ, when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not just a believer, you're a belonger. You belong in God's family. You are a member of God's family. And membership has its privileges. There are family responsibilities and there are family privileges. You, the Bible says, have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you get from God. Not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven as well. And by the way, God is richer than Warren Buffett. He may be one of the richest men in the world, but God's got him beat. The psalmist says, in fact, that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Just a poetic way of saying how rich our God is. But what if you went through your entire life not knowing the power, the opportunities, the blessings, the benefits that are available to you as a child of God, as an heir of God? How sad would that be? You would be like the immigrant mother and her two children who set sail to America. She had saved for 10 years to purchase the fare for herself and for her children. The day before they set sail, she packed rations of peanut butter and crackers and dried fruit and cans of sardines, etc. Enough for the 10-day journey. Every mealtime, while the other passengers were enjoying fabulous buffets cruise ships are known for, the mother and her two children gathered in their cabin to eat their meager meal of crackers and peanut butter and water. As they were departing the ship, one of the stewards asked why they never joined the others in the dining room at any of the six meals that were offered every day. And the mother replied, "Oh, we couldn't afford that." And the steward said, "What do you mean? The meals were included in your fare." In the early part of the past century, poor Mr. Yates, plucked down his life savings as a deposit on a plot of land in West Texas. In West Texas, they call that a ranch or a spread. And on this spread of rolling hills, Wilbur Yates grazed sheep and he raised a family. When the Depression hit, his mounting debt made it nearly impossible to pay his mortgage and feed his family. His wife at one point was forced to remove the curtains from their home and use them to make clothes for their children. His lack of income and resources was making it impossible for he and his family to stay on their prized land. As the bank was about to foreclose, a seismographic crew asked for permission to drill a wildcat well on his property. With nothing to lose, he agreed and signed a contract that gave him the rights for 75% of the royalties should they strike oil. Well, at 1,115 feet, the drill punctured an enormous pool of oil that began to gush forth 80,000 barrels of oil a day. And over the course of the next few weeks, 30 more drilling attempts were made, with 30 more strikes. And during that time, the first well had increased its production to 125,000 barrels a day. Now, there had been oil down there all along. Wilbur Yates was a wealthy man, but didn't realize it until he started drilling deep below the surface of his property. Wouldn't it have been a shame if old man Yates had never discovered the riches that were there all along? And wouldn't it be a shame if you never took the time to drill down deep into God's Word to discover the inheritance that is rightfully yours? If you were an heir to Mr. Buffett and you possessed a copy of the will, it would be dumb to never get around to reading it. God says, "I want to stimulate your growth and give you an inheritance that rightly belongs to you as my child." The Bible says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for." And notice, there are four things that it says it is useful for. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that, and here's the purpose of the Bible. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the purpose of the Bible is to help you live out God's purpose. God has a purpose for your life. The purpose of the Bible is that you will be thoroughly equipped, that you will have all you need, that you will be fully prepared, that you'll be ready to face life and not have insufficient resources for the challenges of life. In other words, you've got everything you need to live life to the fullest and to fulfill God's purpose in His Word. And He says the way God gets you ready for life, the way God gets you ready to fulfill His purpose, the way God gets you ready to experience His blessing and to fulfill His purpose through the Bible is through His Word. God says the Bible is for teaching, rebuking, and correcting and training. And when these things are a reality in our life, there's growth, there's spiritual growth. Let's look at those individually. Teaching is God showing me the path to walk on. That's teaching. Rebuking is when God shows me how I got off the path and fell into a ditch. That's called rebuking. Correcting is how I get back on the path, the right path that God has for me in my life. And training is how I stay on the path and don't fall back into the ditch again. So let me say it again. The Word of God, or the Word of grace, is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's the way the Word of God helps me grow and brings about that wonderful inheritance in my life. Well, there's another way that God uses the Bible to transform my life, and that is, number five, it illuminates my mind. It illuminates my mind. When you illuminate something, you turn a light on it. You shine a light on it. You enlighten it. The psalmist says, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Let me read that again. Understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. That's another way that God transforms and changes our lives.